Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to All About Entrepreneurs. We're excited that you decided to tune in to the show today. Heard every weekday morning at 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time and 6 a.m. Central Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio. Well, we want you to sit back, get that pen and pencil out. We want you to get ready to take lots of notes. We want you to go to another level in your life because it's all about entrepreneurs. Well, we have exciting guests who will come and teach you the strategies, the tips, the tools for you to be successful at life, at work, at school, and in your business. And now your host, the power coach, Lalisa, and the possibilities coach, Cassandra.
That's right. That's right. Good morning. Good morning and welcome. And my co-host, good morning. How are you? Good morning, Cassandra.
Wow, what a great day to be alive. What a great day to get up and get going. I'm great.
Oh, yes. Well, we have our guest is standing by on the line, and I want to bring him right on. Your phone line is open. Dr. John Breeden, welcome to All About Entrepreneurs. Good morning.
Well, good morning. But just to let you know, my name is pronounced Breeden. The E sounds like an A.
in the world.
It's kind of a French thing going way, way back. I had my ancestors in France. They drifted into England with the Norman Conquest, and then, you know, it's a long, long genealogical story. But anyway, I feel blessed to be on your show this morning, Lalisa.
Oh, I'm so blessed to have you, John. And you know what? One day we're going to have you back to tell that story. I love, love, love to hear that. And, John, we just, Breeden, wow. And, you know, I've been knowing you for about 2 years now almost, and you've been letting me get that wrong all the time. But you know what? That's okay. You're nice. I do that for people all the time when they mispronounce Lilies. But you know what? I love it, John. You know, I just want the people to know who they're listening to this morning. And Cassandra, you know, we have had such powerful, powerful topics and interesting people on the air today, and today is no different than the rest. Cassandra, our guest today, John Breeden, wow, you know, he's a college professor. He's an author of a very powerful book, The Ethical Sales Agent. And, you know, he does a wonderful teaching and enlightening people about how we should treat one another and how we, and he's going to tell us more about that and how he got started on this journey. But John also recently became a radio show host, so he can also tell us a little bit about that as well. But I want to welcome you all to the phone lines. I see our phone lines are jammed up. And, you know, for those of you who you couldn't get on the call, we thank you for trying, and we're working on getting some more phone lines. John, our show is growing. Yes. We had people tell us yesterday they couldn't get on the call. They were trying to call in. So that's why when you called me on my cell phone, I told you, hurry up, jump on the call. We don't want to have our guests not be able to get on, right?
Oh, my. No.
John, yes. You know, since know when I first met you over a year ago, and I said, John, I want you on my radio show.
Mm.
Remember that?
Yes. I feel so glad that you invited me on the air, Lalisa, and I think it's a great testimony to the power of your teaching that your show is becoming so popular, you know, especially at 7 o'clock in the morning, that you have people up and at them and ready to talk to you. But that's really what I sensed, you know, when I first met you, an incredible positive energy that you radiate, and also when I brought you in as a guest, in my class, you were tremendous, and my students talked about that the whole semester. I just think that you are doing an incredible job of helping people release their power, so connecting with you was a real great moment in my life to meet another author. We met at the Essex County College Professional Development Seminar. We just had a wonderful dialogue that night, and so I'm so glad to be in a collegial relationship with you, since we both have bigger dreams that go outside the academy in terms of having an impact on the world and creating a world that's more caring and more connecting by reaching out to each other and having these conversations.
Wow. Well, John, why don't we go, you know, right into it. And, John, you know, when I met you and I thought, you know, how amazing that, you know, we were just standing in line together to go into that professional development seminar. And really, there was nothing that said I had to talk to you. Nothing said you had to talk back or that we had to talk to each other. But I believe it was destiny. Like you said, we both have, you know, we both have bigger dreams. And I've stood in many of those lines. And oftentimes, you know, either didn't talk to the person or, you know, you try to strike up a conversation and no way would they have done the things that you and I did. I mean, we talked. We could have just said hello and kept going. But we held conversation. We then sat together. We went to the area where they had the refreshments and we sat together. We took pictures with our books. You hold my book, me holding your book. We had a woman who's now vice president at the college. She's a lawyer. She was, you know, she was with the county government in Essex. We took a picture with her. And, John, we just had, God, it was like we were old friends. And we had just met. And then, again, running into you. So you've always been a real stellar type of person to me. And just your friendliness and your wow, you know, I was wowed by your persona, and so I want to know how you got to be doing what you do, and if you could tell our audience more about your book, The Ethical Sales Agent, and then this movement. What you're working on is something, so you're working on movement that is around this country to make people who own businesses, and you know, we have a bunch of entrepreneurs listening to the show today, and those who work as well, some who work and some who are entrepreneurs, some who are both, and you're on a movement. Tell us how big the movement is, and tell us about this movement that you now have been given this, you know, national, if not global platform. With this, you go to New York. When I met you, you said, come on, you know, go to New York. I'm going over there for this powerful event. I couldn't go. I had something going on. But, you know, just kind of talk to us about that, and I know my audience will find you as interesting as I do. And I think your message.
Hello?
Yes, go right ahead.
Okay. Well, what's interesting now, my background is this year I will celebrate the 20th year of being a teacher. So this is a very important milestone in my biography. But before I went into teaching, I was in the business world. wasn't completely happy because there were elements of the business world, some that I liked, but others that I wasn't quite me, I guess. You know, I longed for a greater meaning and my purpose in my life. I had worked in an automotive warranty company. I was the head of the legal department there. I was working in a bank for a while. So I did sort of the corporate thing when I was in my 20s. Trying to figure out what to major in college, and I was tinkering with being a business major, but I wasn't really feeling that either. So I wound up getting a degree in English literature, which really changed my life, and it sent me in a direction of wanting to be a teacher, wanting to be a writer, and do more meaningful things, you know, with my life. So which really did revolutionize my whole sense of self and my identity. It gave me a purpose in life that I didn't have when I was in the corporate world. But the problem is that being an adjunct professor, I'm sure as you realize, is no way to make a living. Adjuncts are criminally underpaid right now. We're getting such a low salary, very little benefits. This is something which is a social injustice, I think, in our country. So instead of just sitting back and saying, all right, I'm just going to be a poor adjunct, you know, a missionary type, I said, well, let me see if I can do both, if I can get back into the business world, make some money, and still teach, you know, one class a week so I can continue doing what I really love. And what I did was I got a real estate license because I thought, well, real estate is interesting. You know, you get to help people buy and sell homes, and really it is interesting, and I like many aspects of the field. However, what I don't like is the sense of disconnection and inhumanity in the corporate world that has gotten worse than it was even 20 years ago. And so I did some research into it, and I found organizations, for example, like the NSP, the Network of Spiritual Progressives, which I belong to, co-founded by Michael Lerner and Cornel West, which is trying to transform our corporate culture in our society to make it more kind, caring, and peaceful. And one way that they're doing that is by proposing an amendment to the Constitution that would force businesses and corporations to be ethical by law. And what that means is that right now, corporations only seek to maximize their profits and power. That's how they're judged efficient and effective, by how much money they can make. Well, we think that that bottom line is wrong. It's immoral. And we want a new bottom line that says companies need to think about the needs of people, the community, and the beautiful natural world, and not just narrowly focusing on profits. So that's one example of this movement to create a sense of corporate responsibility so that going to work will not be such drudgery. I think it's gotten so Darwinian now. It's gotten so cutthroat at the office that people are even getting depressed. You know, America now is the most unhappy country in the world. We have 5% of the world's population. We consume 66% of the psychological medications. I think a lot of that depression happens at work. I can sense it right away. Going from an academic culture, which is about nurturing people, helping people grow, find their voices, meeting people like you, Lalisa, you know, and then going into a corporate world where everybody is kind of very narrowly focused, although that's not true in all corporations, and there's a movement within the corporate world. A good example of that happened last week when a couple of major corporations took a very courageous stand against this anti-gay law that was about to be passed in Arizona. And Apple, Delta Airlines, American Airlines all stood up and said that this is wrong. So that's a good example of how there's a shift going on. And I just want to continue to nurture that shift forward, but I want to go even deeper with that. You see, a book that I read that changed my life about all of this was written by an American historian named Kim Phillips Fine. She's a professor at NYU, and she wrote this incredible book, which I urge people to read, called Invisible Hands, The Businessmen's Crusade Against the New Deal. And what this book tells the story of is how radical right-wing conservative businessmen got together beginning in the 1930s after President Roosevelt came in office, and he had these great programs for poor people, and he put in the New Deal, and he to create a more caring society that takes care of everybody. He raised the taxes on the rich so that they would pay their fair share. And most of society went along with this, except a very small group of radical right-wing businessmen got together beginning in 1934 with the DuPont family. And they founded an organization called the American Liberty League, which turned into a propaganda group saying that, you know, you have to lower taxes on rich people, that unions are bad, that, you know, it's all about just making money and taking care of number one and that selfish ethos. The group was marginalized, but they inspired other groups and dozens of groups, you know, through the 1940s and 50s and 60s, right up until today. You have the U.S. Chamber of Commerce and the Business Roundtable. These are right-wing organizations that are anti-worker. Their agendas are not very humane. So I'm trying to create an antidote to that, to rally business people together, the kind, caring business people who care about social justice and sustainability, to build an organization and a movement that will strengthen our country, strengthen our democracy, and push back that other negative energy that's sort of taken over our society. And we can see evidence of it in many ways. We can see evidence of it in the ecological crisis, which is getting worse. We can see evidence of it in the lack of democracy and just the sense of exhaustion that so many people feel in their lives. You know, the workplace doesn't have to be a battleground. And so my ethical business society is trying to do all that in addition to helping people who are progressive, who care about making a better world, to get their money acts together and to begin to do business with each other and build each other up financially so we can build a movement for change in our country. And people who are in business who say, well, you can't mix business and politics, are being very naive, because the side of the right-wing conservatives have been political within the business world for decades. So it's time, I think, for the good people to stand up and say, we need a movement for change, and this is the only way I can do this. Otherwise, I cannot be in business if it's only about making money. You know me. I'm an intellectual, academic. I have a spiritual side. Cornel West is one of my heroes. I'm reading his memoir now called Brother West, Living and Loving Out Loud. He's going to be in Newark on April 2nd at Bethany Baptist Church. If anybody wants to join me, I'll be there. But he's the co-founder of this organization, the NSP, the Network of Spiritual Progressives, which I now belong to, and I am involved with their New York City chapter. And that has inspired me to begin to take this message to business people everywhere I can, at the water cooler, you know, infiltrating the corporate culture, giving lectures about this, about my book. A lot of these ideas I put into my book, The Ethical Sales Agent. And the subtitle of the book is A Transformative Sales Pedagogy to Liberate Corporate Culture and Save America.
Cassandra, go right ahead.
Yes. Hi, John. I'm so glad to have you on the show today. My question to you, what can you tell us that are listening, some of the tips or strategies to be an ethical salesperson?
Well, let's see. Okay. First of all, don't be so obsessed with the you know, closing the deal, with getting that big cha-ching, you know. You know, have a kindness about you when you interact with your clients. Get to know them as people. Build relationships. And if you have that in mind, that you want the best for your client, and they know that deep down inside, then they're going to trust you. And also realizing, as far as the ethical sales agent, that it's important to do good work. It's important to get involved in your community, to be an activist. And the theory that I create is that salespeople are very linguistically oriented, and becoming better at using your verbal skills is something that, you know, you can grow that. One way you can grow that is by being involved politically. by being involved in organizations. I belong to a group called the Village Independent Democrats, which I have a meeting tonight, as a matter of fact. And these are people who are very caring, and they reach out and try to make a better world through politics. When I joined this group, I was a lot more shy. But being around people, and this is an organization where Eleanor Roosevelt used to belong, and they're very savvy, smart people in the village. But you can start wherever you are in your community. You can reach out, and you could join a group. Newark has an organization called the POP, the People's Organization for Progress, headed by Larry Hamm, which is a wonderful organization. Or you can get involved with your church if they're social justice-oriented and start a group there. And if you're working for change and justice in the community, I think it spills over into your contacts in business. You begin to radiate a positive energy. People see you as a leader, as decent, as ethical, especially at a time when the faith in the corporate world is so low. And I know this because when I tell people now that I work in business and I work in real estate, I sense the reaction to them that's qualitatively different than when I tell them I'm a teacher. Right? Teaching is one of the last professions that's truly noble, that people have respect for. Business has gotten tarnished, in particular in 2008 when you had that financial scandal and the meltdown and the recession that we continue to be mired in, which was really engineered only by a handful of bad apples. And yet it has tarnished the image of business. So if people see you as a business person who's caring, who's out there in the community, it's just going to radiate. You know, you're going to have a different energy about you, and people will trust that and want to do business with you.
Wow.
Oh, my God. Ooh-wee, Coach Cassandra. This is so, you know, and for those of you tuned in, listening in, you know, this is such good advice, and Cassandra, what an awesome question. And, you know, it's only a half-hour show with a plus 15-minute window. So that's why I said, you know, John, we so love that you're on. Can you tell people where we can get your book? And I'm going to let, you know, Cassandra ask another question if she'd like. But tell people how we can get a book. Tell them about your radio show, your radio station, what time they can hear you. You're on Facebook, you're on Twitter, you're on LinkedIn. I have your LinkedIn page pulled up right now. And, you know, you're doing some great things. You know, the work you've done in the college, an English professor. And, you know, I've seen him work with his students at Essex County College, and they were so engaged. I don't know when's the last time I've been in a class that engaging. But can you imagine sitting in a classroom with this fella every day?
Thank you, Lily. Thank you.
Engaged. Can you imagine that? And him being your English professor, and look at all the wealth of information he shared with us. I love the piece you talked about getting involved in your communities, being nice, reaching out, wow. You said, oh, my God, I'm just blown away here. But now, if you have a question for our professor, our sales agent, our author, please hit your number one key, and you can speak live to Mr. John Braden. I like how he said that he's hooked up with Cornell West, one of my favorites. I love Dr. Cornell West, and he's going to be, I heard you say, in Newark, New Jersey in April. And so for those people in the New Jersey area or surrounding area, Dr. West is awesome. I got a chance to meet him personally. OMG, he's amazing. He's so nice. He is he didn't know me from a hill of beans, but he took the time to give me an interview when there were thousands of people in the room. There were people there from all big major newspaper networks, and I somehow got close to him and asked for an interview, and he gave me, I have a short interview that I still hold today on recorder. That's how nice it is when Tavis Smiley and others were there. They walked right by me like I wasn't there, but Dr. Cornell West, he stopped, embraced me with a hug, and gave me an interview. I'll never, ever forget that. So the fact that you're hooked up with him, he is real deal and what you're saying about B. For him, it wasn't all about the show and he was there and he was on a big platform, you know. So I know what you're saying is absolutely true, and we cannot thank you enough for sharing that, because Cassandra and myself, we're working on a lot of projects, and this I know is resonating with her because it just is what we've been about as we've been working. And so I'm sure the people who are attracted to the show are also looking for that same type of answer that you're bringing. So I'm going to turn it back over to Cassandra, and if I see anyone has their hand up, I'll bring open your phone line as you do, so I to interrupt. If I see someone's hand up, I'll put it up. But tell us first about your book and your radio show, and then Cassandra, she has any other questions.
I just want to say that I also have a Cornell hug story, but I'll tell you in person about my Cornell hug story, you're right. He does have that kind of energy that's very authentic and real. But another person who I'm trying to reach out to with this and who has inspired me is Russell Simmons. And he has a book called Super Rich, A Guide to Having It All, that also had an impact on me, because he brings a spiritual aspect to working in business, also to being caring and to being sort of having that energy where you attract things to you through a spiritual process and a loving process. And there's a chapter in my book called How Russell Simmons Can Help Me Save America, which was also inspired by an encounter I had with Russell Simmons in the East Village back in 2008. Along those lines, on my radio show, my guest on my very first show, which premiered 2 weeks ago, was Zsa Zsa Shakur of the Africana Institute at Essex County College, and he's developing a program in business hip-hop, which also has a lot of these principles. And when you think back to 2004, the very first hip-hop political summit took place in Essex County College in Newark, and Russell Simmons was a part of that. And real hip-hop also has a political side to it. It's about social justice. So if we could bring that narrative also into business, I think that would be good. But my book is called The Ethical Sales Agent. And it's available on Amazon, but right now I'm actually fixing the margin. I found an issue with the margin, so you can't get it right now, but in another week or so it will be available. My email is jfbraden, J-F, B as in boy, R, E as in Edward, D as in David, I, N as in Nancy, @hotmail.com. And if you send me an email, I'll put you on a list and let you know as soon as that's available again. My radio show is called New Bottom Line, and it's on the Gary Null Progressive Radio Network, which is an internet radio station. It's the most powerful progressive internet radio station now in the country. The studio is in New York on the Upper West Side. And that is on Mondays at 3 o'clock. If you go to Progressive Radio Network and Google that, on Mondays at 3, you can listen to my show. You can call in my show, and I'm always looking for guests as well.
That's exciting, Woo-hoo! John. Sharing that. Yes. John, what would you like people to know? What is it that you would like to leave with people today?
That people can have hope for a world that's more kind and caring and more the kind of world that you know we need to live in, a more peaceful world, and that you can make those changes inside the business world and outside. And you could begin to use your capital resources, including financial, but also your articulation and your ability to reach out and build community. You can do that in the office, and you can do that in the community as well, and you can link them together.
Wow, that sounds awesome. Absolutely wonderful. And tell us again the name of your radio show, and what was the website to get to the radio show again?
Okay, the radio show is Progressive Radio Network. If you Google Progressive Radio Network, and my show in particular is called New Bottom Line. New, N-E-W, bottom line. And the third thing also is I'm willing to come in and give a lecture any place. Just give me the word, and I'll come in with my book, and I'll give a reading. I'll give a lecture, a brief lecture, and then open up a Q&A, and I can actually give like a little mini training to your sales force or at your workplace to open up this positive energy and see how you can link ethically with your business practices to the larger world and larger community, and I'm willing to do that also. So,
okay, and
wow.
you want people to connect with you via email. Are you on Facebook or Twitter?
Yeah, well, Facebook is fine, but I'm much more of an email guy. I'm old-fashioned. I don't go too much for the social media. I do it just as a necessity, but I'm sort of a, you know, if I can unplug, I'd rather, you know, face-to-face. But email works, yeah, jfbraden@hotmail.com, and then we could have a dialogue and get on the phone quickly and move it towards an in-person meeting, and that's how I like to operate more, in a more humanistic way.
Awesome. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Lalisa. Oh, my goodness. And thank you, Cassandra. Both of you, this is wonderful that you're doing. It's a great way to wake up in the morning with hope and with, you know, determination to start the day fresh with community and with language and with great ideas.
Wow.
Awesome.
Well, John, you are truly powering up your possibilities. That's a new teaching that myself and Cassandra have been talking about and communicating over the past several weeks, how people can actually power up possibilities. So we love the concept of powering up your possibilities to be nicer. I like that. You know, A segment of the Business 101 class, there's a chapter, it's a whole chapter now in the Business 101 class on ethics and social responsibility. When I was a business major several years back, that was not one of the topics because I was a business major around the Enron scandals. And so back in the mid-90s, and therefore they were just developing that we need to add this as a topic for business students, Business 101. So now it is a chapter, and chapter I cover every single semester, and we happened to talk about the chapter last night.
We're right on target. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, and just look at, you know, someone like a Warren Buffett, who is a very wealthy businessman. He's admired. He's respected. And he came out a couple of years ago and said, you know, it's not right that people like me pay such little taxes. We need to pay higher taxes. And his wealthy friends all said, oh, well, will you shut up, Warren? You know, we like the deal that we're getting. And he came right out. It was a very moral act. It was a very courageous, ethical act. And it sets an example how you can be wealthy, you could be in business, and you could still have a moral conscience. And so, but, you know, he's just one famous example. I'm sure there are people in the community who are also doing wonderful things. You need to shine that light, and you need to, I think, be with other progressive business people to create more projects and ideas to bring this movement forward. And that's why I think it's so important to meet, and that's why I created this Ethical Business Society. And we have a monthly meeting in a cafe in Greenwich Village, where Greenwich Village has incubated many great political movements over the generations. And we tell our stories. We sit down with each other. We have a cup of coffee, and we share, we talk, we dialogue, we discuss. And it makes us feel not so alone in this quest, because you can get very isolated since so much of the energy is negative and is going the other way towards selfishness. I think you need allies and friends and business partners to keep you strong.
Wow. This is so good and so on point to what we've been talking, sensing, and experiencing, even in what we've been doing as entrepreneurs. I know we have not tried to sell people on any type of, just get a bunch of money, just get rich, and just, you know, and 'cause even it would be like, okay, so if you do, what would you do with it? And I think I posed the question on Facebook. I said, if you had, I don't know how many millions I said, I might have said 25, I'm not sure, but I said, if you had blank $1 million today, what would you do with it?
I'm going to answer that question right now, that I've created a plan, which I call my 5-5 plan. 5% of all my income will go to organizations that are promoting peace and justice in the world through education, through politics, through media. And the five organizations that I've identified are spiritual, cultural, you know, art organizations, churches that are working for justice, educational organizations, schools that should be built, new types of learning institutions, media, including print media, journalism, new magazines that have to be created, a whole new publishing industry that's not corporate sponsored, bookstores, small independent bookstores, and also media that is, what we're doing on radio and television. And the fifth would be political organizations that are really fighting for change. And if a Democratic Party, you know, doesn't really, I have criticisms of the Democratic Party now. So there's a new third party movement that's emerging in our country. The Green Party is getting stronger, and also the Socialist Party is starting to gain some strength. And Bernie Sanders, who's the senator from Vermont, who's an independent, is considering running for president in 2016, not as a Democrat, but as an independent. So we can build political movements, but it's going to take money. Money does have an impact on changing the world. And so I think, yeah, get rich, but get rich in a healthy way. And the name of my blog I started about this is called Good Money. Good Money, A Better World is Everyone's Business.
I love it. I went to your blog. I saw your blog yesterday. And,
okay.
So check out his blog. Yes, Good Money. Good Money. And what's the rest of it?
A Better World is Everyone's Business.
I love that. I saw that yesterday. I said, wow, this is, I love it. I love it. It's certainly my business. And
thank you.
I'm making
thank
it my
you.
Business.
Lalisa, because that's who you are. You're a humanistic person. You're a great teacher. And I think we have to bring these skills and open up these spaces in a corporate America where people who have studied narrowly, and not because it's their fault, because they didn't get the kind of exposure that we may have gotten to philosophy, to psychology, to a deeper political, historical analysis of our country, that we need to share that knowledge, and we need to show others that this is the time, an historical time, that we have got to learn to be good as a species. Otherwise, we're not going to have a planet by the end of the century.
Well, Cassandra, do you have any other questions or comments for our awesome guest today? Yes, Cassandra. I know she might be on mute.
Okay, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
There she is.
Hi.
Yeah,
this has been very informative, very enlightening. You have just been so delightful to listen to, John, that people out there are really trying to connect with their spiritual side and bring that into the corporate world to make that a marriage instead of, you know, the two being separated. And it just makes us more human. It brings a softer element into what seems, you know, to be so, some people say, cutthroat and uncaring. So it's great to know that people are out there that want to make a difference, want to make a change. And you remind me of that statement that Gandhi makes that many people quote today, you know, be the change that you want to see in the world. And that, you know, it's so significant that to know that I can make a difference. You can make a difference if you would only speak up, if you would only be bold enough, brave enough to say, hey, we need to do it differently. And, you know, they say insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and thinking you can make a change. You've got to speak out. You've got to make a difference. You know, I mean, John the Baptist dare to speak out against injustice. Yes, it cost him his life, but I'm telling you, when you stand up for what is right, when you dare to say, listen, that's not right, you know, we need to do this, we need to make some adjustments, that's so important. So I want to applaud you for being a man of principle, a man of honor. That's so important that people are yet wanting to stand up and say that integrity is important, and that you will not continue to let people say the wrong things are right and that the right things are wrong. So I applaud you for being a crusader of sorts to make a difference in society. Thank you so much, sir.
Well, thank you, Cassandra. That was very kind of you to say those things. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
See, already, such a much kinder atmosphere. No. But, you know, I am so excited here. You know, I just love the information that you've given out. The ethical sales agent, again, I know this is something now that they are trying to infuse into the corporations through just teaching all the college students who get that business degree, this part of them, and like I said to some of them, when they go on, and that's just, you know, in the two-year college, when they get onto their four-year schools, it won't be, ethics won't just be a chapter, it'll be a whole course. And then probably at the master's level, they eventually probably will have a master's degree, and you can get, just like you can get a degree in economics or human resources, you probably can get your master's targeted on ethics and being socially responsible, because like you said, it is, I see it growing from when I started school, when it wasn't even talked about in class, and then not until, like I said, the whole Enron scandal and, you know, Bernie Madoff and other scandals, and I forget the woman's name, so more scandals came out, ethical practices in the workplace, and then all the injustices, and so, and with the banks and the closures and people losing their homes and through these faulty loans and things like that mortgages and what have you that weren't so clear for people and had people signing up for stuff. So, yes, I'm part of the movement. What you said about the college campus, absolutely. So true, because I worked in corporate America, and I worked at the college campus, and I didn't know. I wish I had met you 12 years ago. I probably would have never left the college campus, because the atmosphere was like white and black, difference as night and day. And what you experience, like you say, in the college is so they care about the students, and they care about each other, and everybody trying to help each other get their doctorates or their masters. You know, you encourage the person that's sweeping the floor because you know they. So I didn't know that what I was sensing, and but now I'm back. I spend most of my free time on the college campus, and I try to encourage other people. It's not just fairly about getting the degree, that's important, but the atmosphere is very community oriented. We deal with everything from the homeless. You know, you don't see homeless people walking up into corporations saying, can you help me? But you'll see them walking to college and ask for help, and we actually can give them help. But we are out of time. Cassandra, thank you, John. Thank you. We've got to have you back. I'm watching the clock, and this the show, the way it works, it'll just stop. It won't tell us anything. Just we'll be talking, and it'll be over. So we want to avoid that.
Well, at least
we can,
I wanted to, before I go, I wanted to invite you to a conference. I'm trying to build the first ethical business conference in the world, in New York, and I'd love for you to be a guest speaker at that. And Cassandra.
Yes.
Oh,
Andre,
awesome.
You
thank
too.
You.
Yes. We'll talk more about.
Thank you, John.
Yes.
Because this dialogue has been just so powerful. I can't wait to listen to it again and share it with other people, because I think it was an incredible conversation to have in the morning that was just unscripted but so really meaningful, and a lot of ideas and knowledge came out of this discourse.
Well, we thank everybody for tuning in. And that's all we have time for. Have an awesome day, y'all. We'll see you back tomorrow for another Power Guest. Thank you, John, Braden. Thank you for tuning in.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on the show. Appreciate
that. Thank you for being here. Awesome,
thanks.
John. You rock. You rock, John.
Thank you.
You made our show rock. Thank you, Cassandra. Thank you, everyone.
My pleasure.
What a show. What a show. I'm going to share this with everybody. I'm sending this to Oprah, y'all.
That's right. There's no stopping you now. Well, thank you for tuning in to another segment of All About Entrepreneurs. Don't forget, stop by our website, www.blogtalkradio.com/